from the United States of America. Stand by, Americans. Stand by, servicemen and women of the United Nations. Here's mail call. One big package of words and music and laughter delivered to you by the stars from whom you want to hear in answer to the request you send to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Tonight we dedicate our show to the servicemen and women based in Greenland. And standing at the microphone now, ready to speed this greeting on its way, is your master of ceremonies, Groucho Marx.
Thank you, fat boy. It's a pleasure to be on a show dedicated to the men's station in Greenland. As a matter of fact, it's a pleasure to appear for soldiers all over. I'm an old army man myself. My draft board's calling me as soon as they need an old army. But right now, our mail call letter calls for a paragraph from that great singing group, the Williams Brothers. Thank you. That was the Williams Brothers, not to be confused with that other famous vocal group, the Marx Brothers. Groucho, Harpo, Chico, and Soprano. My brother Soprano is a great singer. He's got a voice like a bird and eats like a canary. He has to. We keep him in a cage. And now to answer a request from a bunch of GIs who are bivouacked in Scotland. They want to hear from a Scotch lass they remember well from the States. So here she is, Miss Ella Logan.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, my bonny, bonny lads in the heather, for inviting me here tonight.
Bonny men in the heather. Oh, the camels are coming. The camels are coming. The camels are coming. Oh, but it won't do them any good. You can't get a room anywhere in Hollywood. Tell me, Ella, were you born in Scotland?
Well, I'm Scotch on my mother's side.
Me too.
Scotch?
No, I was on my mother's side. Someone had to protect her from my father. Arma bunny lass is a bro brech molech nech
Is that Scotch?
No, I'm just trying to break up a cold.
Oh, Groucho, you're just pulling my leg.
No, I'm not, but it's a wonderful notion. Ella, it might be fun to hear you sing Mississippi Dreamboat. Take it away, Dreamboat.
Okay. I got me a chicken. I got me a melon. I got me a dollar bouquet. My baby's on the Mississippi Dreamboat, and it's a pop, a pop, pop in his way. Happy doggone it, I'm happy he's on it. And my, what a wonderful night. My baby's on the Mississippi Dreamboat, third from the left and fourth from the right. Gangway, mister, that ain't my sister, hanging from that rail. That's my pleasant passing duty, I'm his favorite frail. Got me the paper, I got me the preacher, I gotta make sure that he'll stay. Because a St. Louis fella is a fickle kind, and maybe I'm to change his mind. When the Mississippi Dreamboat busted away, I got me a chicken, I got me a melon, I got me a dollar bill. Hey, my baby's on the Mississippi Dreamboat, and it's a puff, a puff, a puff in his way. Happy doggone it, I'm happy he's on it, and my, what a wonderful night. My baby's on the Mississippi Dreamboat, third from the left and fourth from the right. Ding, we missed it, that ain't my sister hanging from that rail. That's my present, past, and future, I'm his favorite frail. Got me the papers, I got me the picture, I gotta make sure that he'll stay. Because a St. Louis fella is a fickle kind, and maybe I'm to change his mind when the Mississippi Dreamboat
Thank you, Ella, for Mississippi Dreamboat. You know, I used to take my girl out in my rowboat on the Mississippi. Ah, those were the times we used to float along in our little boat and dream and row. Dream and row. I dreamed and she rowed. One night we bumped into an old scow who turned out to be her mother. The rest is history. We got married, had a large family, and to this day she paddles the children. And now, men, I'd like you all to meet radio's mayor of the town and Metro-going mayor's Dr. Gillespie, Lionel Barrymore.
Well, glad to visit with you, Groucho.
Glad to have you, Doc. Pull up a stethoscope and sit down. By the way, Doc, lately I've had a little pain right here on my side. I wish you'd take a look at it. It seems silly to spend $3 to go to another doctor.
Oh, come, come, Groucho. I'm not really a doctor.
Oh, come, come, Barrymore. I haven't really got $3.
Groucho, I only play the part of a doctor on the screen. I'm not really a medical man.
But you played in so many of those Dr. Gillespie pictures, you must know something about medicine.
Oh, not necessarily, Marks. You've been acting on the stage for years. Look here, son. I want to talk to you. Now, Groucho, you can't understand. I'm not a medical man. Dr. Gillespie's just a role I play.
You know, Lionel, I've always fancied myself in the role of a doctor. Say, in your pictures, you're always trying out a new assistant. How about putting in a plug for me over at the studio?
Oh, you're not the medical type, Groucho. Somehow I just can't picture you as a man in gray.
Gray? Don't you mean man in white?
Groucho, have you noticed the kind of work the laundries are doing lately? At any rate, I can't see you as a young intern in a Dr. Gillespie picture.
Well, I can. I can just see myself now sitting in Grauman's Chinese Theater with a kimono on. The MGM lion roars and the title flashes on the screen.
MGM Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Dr. Gillespie's new assistant, starring Lionel Barrymore and Groucho Marx. Any similarity between this MGM Dr. Gillespie picture and those produced by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer is purely accidental. And any person living or dead to whom our characters bear a resemblance should be thoroughly ashamed of themselves. The scene is the Blair General Hospital, where we find Dr. Leonard B. Gillespie, renowned diagnostician, in pleasant conversation with the head nurse, Molly Bird.
Molly Bird, get out of my office and stay out.
Leonard Gillespie, I am not leaving until you drink that glass of milk.
I won't drink my milk. I hate milk. I detest milk. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't care if every cow in the country went into some other line of work. Say, where's that new assistant of mine, G. Hackenbush Marx? Tell him I want to see him in room 14. The patient has a high fever. Oh, better still, get him on the speaker system now.
Very well.
Calling Dr. Marx, you want it in room 14. Calling Dr. Marx, you want it in room 14.
You'll have to wait. I'm pressing my pants. You'll have to wait. I'm pressing my pants. Forgot to tell you, it's two pair of pants.
Patient has high fever and is burning up. Patient has high fever and is burning up.
So are my pants. So are my pants. That is all. Hackenbush.
How can that be? Come in. Oh, hello, Mark.
Hello, Dr. Gillespie. Pardon my rubber glove.
Rubber gloves, huh? Did you just return from surgery?
No, I was just washing the dishes.
There, you see, Leonard? This man's not the type to make a real doctor.
But, Molly, I've been told that Marx comes from a family of great doctors.
That's right. Take my Uncle Hypo, for example. What a great doctor he was. Ah, what that man contributed to the field of medicine.
Well, what did your uncle contribute?
Well, for one thing, he discovered a cure for which there was no disease.
Just as I thought, this man's nothing but a quack.
A what?
A quack. Quack, quack.
Are you going to stick around or do you fly south for the winter?
Frankly, Marx, I think Molly Bird's right. You impress me as being a nincompoop.
Just a second, Doctor. Did you call me a nincompoop?
Yes. I called you a nincompoop. What about it?
Nothing. How much do I owe you for the diagnosis?
Hello? Dr. Gillespie speaking. Oh, just a minute. It's for you, Marx.
Hello? Oh, is that so? Well, there's nothing I can do about it now. Sorry. Goodbye.
What was it, Mark?
Oh, just a little routine trouble. Patient I operated on last week. I ran out of surgical thread, so I sewed him up with some knitting wool instead.
Well, what happened to him?
He took a bath, the wool shrunk, and now he walks sitting down.
Mark, you're mad.
No, I'm not. I'm not even angry. Shall we dance?
Oh. Molly, send in the next patient. I'll see what this nitwit knows about medicine.
Here's the next patient, Doctor, Mr. Ferguson.
Your patient, Mark. See what you can do with him.
Very well. Ferguson, open your mouth and say ah.
Ah.
What do you see, Mark?
Looks like Congress is in session. Gillespie, I think we'll have to operate.
Hey, not so fast, Doc. Do you know how to operate?
I think so. I operated a bus for 6 years. Now, what do you want taken out? Your appendix, your tonsils, or would you just prefer our special surprise package?
Well, I don't know. What do you take out best?
The nurses, but I operate differently there. All right, nurse. Get the patient ready.
Just a minute, Marks.
How do you know where to operate?
Why, that's simple. I'll just follow this x-ray picture.
Ah, you dope. That's not an x-ray picture. It's a road map.
I wondered why his liver was just outside of Pomona.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Doctor, but Mrs. Faye Van McKenzie's outside, and she insists you must see her at once.
I'll let Marks examine that silly Van McKenzie woman. I think she's just a hypochondriac.
I don't think so, Doc. I think she just imagines she's sick.
Come in, Mrs. Van McKenzie. My assistant, Dr. Marks, will look over you.
Oh, Dr. Marks, are you going to look over me?
If you'll bend down a bit, I'll jump over you.
Dr. Gillespie, are you sure this man is a capable physician?
Is he capable? Why, only a few years ago, a patient of his was hopelessly ill, or so it seemed. But he didn't give up. He struggled, used every device he could think of, stayed at the patient's bedside all night.
Really? Did the patient recover?
Pulled through in time to run the third race at Santa Anita.
Well, let's talk about your case, madam. When did you first discover you had the flu?
Oh, but I don't have the flu. I have sinus trouble.
Flu.
Sinus trouble?
Flu. It's gotta be flu. It's gotta be flu. It's gotta be flu. I wandered around, finally found it's gotta be flu.
The doctor.
Stop me, will you? I don't know the next part, huh? Should have stopped me earlier.
Doctor, why? Why does it have to be flu?
Well, I've only been here a short time, and I don't know how to treat anything else.
What?
No, wait a minute. I know how to treat bronchitis, too. You can have your choice, bronchitis or flu. That's all I can give you.
But I don't want either of them.
Fuss budget. Don't you know there's a war going on? You take what you can get these days.
But, Doctor, you don't understand. My limbs feel funny, and I'm shaking like a leaf.
You don't need a doctor. You need a tree surgeon. Come back in the morning, and I'll prune you. I always have prunes in the morning.
Marks, you're a medical moron.
Oh, could be.
I've already heard enough to throw you out, but I'll give you one last chance to redeem yourself. Who's the next case, nurse?
It's our one incurable case, Donald G. Wilson. Oh, you've just got to do something for the poor boy.
Oh, I've tried, nurse. How I've tried, but I can't seem to diagnose it. I've never heard of a case like this before. Man laughing and unable to stop laughing himself to death.
Doctor. Oh, I...
Poor fellow. I don't know what to do with him.
How about putting him in the audience? Three
if
or four people will get up.
Find
to be...
out what...
What's that?
What is causing this uncontrollable laughter?
Wait a minute, Wilson. What's that bottle in your pocket? No, I'm not kidding.
That bottle? You mean...
Yes. The one on the other side, yeah.
Oh, this bottle?
Yes.
That's... Oh, that's my cough syrup.
Let me have it. Dr. Gillespie, I think I know what's tickling this man to death. Wilson, get behind that fluoroscope. This looks like an inside job.
Marks! If you solve this case, you're my first assistant.
Aha, just as I thought. By mistake, instead of cough syrup, this man has been drinking hair tonic.
Drinking hair tonic? You mean...
Yes, look here. His appendix has grown a mustache. Thank you. Thank you, Lionel Barrymore, Faye McKenzie, and Elvia Allman.
Groucho, you make quite a doctor.
Well, why shouldn't I? I studied under the famous Dr. Hackenbush. Come on, interns, let's tell him about it.
So this is Dr. Hackenbush, the famous medico. You're welcome, Dr. Hackenbush.
If that's the case, I'll go.
Oh, no, you mustn't go.
Who said I mustn't go? The only reason that I came is so that I can go. I'm Dr. Hackenbush. My medical standing's very high. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I am Dr. Hackenbush.
He's Dr. Hackenbush.
I'm Dr. Hackenbush. As a matter of fact, to be exact, I'm Dr. Hackenbush.
I'm sure we all would like to hear some facts about your great career.
Although my horn I hate to blow, there's one thing that you ought to know. I'm Dr. Hackenbush, which all my friends will verify. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I am Dr. Hackenbush.
He's Dr. Hackenbush.
I'm Dr. Hackenbush. You never would guess, but nevertheless, I'm Dr. Hackenbush. For ailments abdominal, my charges are nominal. Though I'm great for, I've a rate for tonsillectomy. Sick and healthy, poor and wealthy, come direct to me. Oh, God bless you, they yell, when I send them home well. But they never, no, they never send a check to me. I've won a claim for curing ills, both in the north and south. You'll find my name is like my pills in everybody's mouth. I've never lost a case.
He's never lost a case.
I've lost a lot of patients, but I've never lost a case. My diagnosis never fails. I know just what to do. Whenever anybody ails, I'm sympathetic too. My heart within me melts.
His heart within him melts.
No matter what I treat him for, they die from something else. When your nerves start to rock, put your faith in your doc. When you're sick, he will stick to the end. With the possible exception of your mother, a doctor's a man's best friend.
Yes, a doctor's a man's best friend.
A doctor's a man's best friend. Whoa, a doctor's a man's best friend.
A doctor is.
A doctor is a man's best friend. But you better, you better have your doctor. Right or wrong, wrong or right, night and day, day and night. On his call you can always depend. With the possible exception of your mother and your father and your sister and your brother and your nephews and your nieces and your uncles and your cousins whom you number by the dozen.
A doctor's a man's best friend.
And now it's time for a song to you men in Greenland from that we brought to the last Ella Logan. Ella, what do you say?
Well, I think the fellows might like to hear my version of Tipperary.
You took the words right out of my mouth, and in the future, I'll thank you to keep your hands out of there. Thank you.
It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. It's a long, long way to Tipperary. To the sweetest man I know. Goodbye, Piccadilly, not a commando, but farewell, Leicester Square. It's a long, long way to Tipperary, but my heart lies there. It's a long, long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. It's a long, long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest man I know. That's why I'm just in Piccadilly. It's a long, long way to Tipperary, but my heart lies there. I think I'll hike in the pike to Tipperary, because I got a long, long way to go. I think I'll take a long bird to Tipperary, to the sweetest man, man, no. Goodbye, goodbye, Piccadilly. Farewell, farewell, Leicester Square. It's a long, long way to but my heart lies there. And so goodbye. I guess I'll fly, cause it's a long, long way from here.
Great, great. That was the Berries, Miss Logan. Well, what do you know? Logan Berries. Oh, Groucho Marx. How'd you ever think of such a funny thing? Oh, I don't know. I guess I owe it all to my parents. They got off a lot of funny things, too. Me and my brothers, for example. And anyhow, here they are again. The Williams brothers with The Very Thought of You.
And I forget to do the little.
kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king.
And foolish though it may seem, to me that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you.
I see your face in every flower, your eyes and stars above.
It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love, my love, my love. The very thought of wonderful you, and I forget what to do, because I'm flying, I'm dying, I'm trying to think what I ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king. And foolish though it may seem, to me there's a living, the mere idea of you, the longing. Never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your pretty eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought.
Well, the hands of Grandfather's clock are giving me the thumb. Before I bid you all ug-ug, or as they say in Eskimo, goodbye, I'd like to say something more about Greenland. Whoever named it that must have had a job writing campaign promises for politicians. It isn't good duty up there, no matter how you look at it, but it's a mighty important assignment, and it has to be done. Nearly every branch of the service is represented. There's Coast Guard, infantry, artillery, Navy Air Corps, and the rest. It's forgotten country, but we must never forget what these men up there are doing for us. So, so long to you all.
Well, that's it, fellas. The end of another mail call letter. Signatures include Groucho Marx, Ella Logan, Lionel Barrymore, the Williams Brothers, Faye McKenzie, Elvia Allman, and yours truly, Don Wilson. This program was arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.